Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast, pre-Hungarian Grand Prix, little middle of the break edition. I'm here, of course, as always, with my good friend Niran in a new jumper. What are we talking? For the audio-only listeners, describe what you're wearing today, mate.
Yeah, basically, it looks like a kitchen floor in terms of, like, we've got some tiles going on here. We've got
a bit of ceramic.
A little bit of ceramic, red square, yellow square, brown square.
Brand Square. Brand. You sound like me, mate. Brand Square. Niran, mate.
High Street.
Congratulations on completing your arts and craft course.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. Get me on Blue's Clues.
And welcome for the first time on the Last Lap podcast, Alex Mansaroglu. Thank you very much, Alex, for coming.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. Like I was saying earlier, because you were late. I was saying, this is actually the best podcast that I watch in terms of motor racing, because you guys are like proper normal.
Stop it. We can have a chat.
Yeah. It's not going to be like, numbers. But yeah, I'm really excited to be here. So thank you for having me on.
No stress.
Blend of everything. Alex, for anyone watching who does and doesn't know what you're about, because I always love having people on who, you know, aren't necessarily known for F1 first and foremost, but obviously have a passion for the sport, so pitch yourself to the world.
I thought you'd say I like having people on that are not known.
I should have done that.
I'm a radio presenter on a station called Kiss FM, which is a national radio station. We've got 2 million listeners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been there long enough to kind of do what I want on the show, so every now and then I talk about F1 a little bit. So I started off as like a super fan of Formula One. From my generation of Formula One, it really wasn't cool to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm from an area where you either play football.
We're like the same age. I'm 30.
Like, you know, at school, so it's like...
No one talked about F1.
Yeah, no one did.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you did, you're like, you're weird.
Yeah, yeah. I knew one Don literally in my class.
I remember once saying, oh yeah, Jenson Button at the weekend, guys. Get out of and jump us down, yeah. Get a goal. I got put in goal. So, but then, like, you know, over the course of time, you kind of feel a bit more, you know, open to talking about. I think for me, Lewis Hamilton was that guy to be like, do you know what? I'm back in this sport now. So, yeah.
What's your earliest kind of clear F1 memory? Is it?
My earliest was Lewis Hamilton in this silver car, and he was just like a skinhead. Mm. And I think this dude is mad because, like, I was saying earlier, like, all my friends, we don't look like, you know, those Formula One drivers. Mm. We don't look like Jenson Button. Or any of them. Mm. But then you've got like, I've got a very diverse group of friends. Mm. And you've got this young black lad coming through, skinhead, whipping this car around. Mm. Mm. Big fan. Because I felt like it was representative to us. It felt like, you know, he's kind of got out of something and a stereotype and, you know, a label as such. Like most of us in our area, you know. So that was my first memory of Lewis Hamilton. This young kid just like killing these older men.
Because he was still like 21 by then as well, wasn't he?
Ridiculously young.
Yeah.
That was my first memory. And then, you know, throughout the years, it's, you know, seeing all these youngsters who are now wicked, like Max racing for the first time. Mm. You just knew, whatever you think about Max at the moment, you just knew he had something in him.
But
for the first one, definitely Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, wicked.
That chrome McLaren, that early days McLaren as well. Like you say, Lewis and Fernando, both skinheads at the time.
Lewis ran the outside of
Fernando in Australia, man.
Skinhead Alonso was a reckless individual, by the way, as well. I've just remembered. Short head.
That was a crazy time at McLaren. McLaren are so different now to what they used to be.
I just feel like delivery back then was like, it just influenced all of my gaming as well. Like Need for Speed Underground, when that came up,
yes.
I went straight chrome on it.
Bro.
Any Pimp My Ride as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yo, dog, I'm going to give you the Lewis Hamilton chrome, man. That's literally like, that was a sick chrome, sick livery. But like, yeah, Fernando Alonso is a skinhead. Like that was...
It was a weird time.
It was like the least PC McLaren I think I've ever been.
Ron Dennis was like, The way he managed McLaren was so opposite to how Zach manages it now.
Yeah, fact.
Like polar.
When you say Zach manages McLaren, like, manages like that.
And what about in terms of obviously your job, radio presenting?
Yeah.
Have you had many interaction with any of the current kind of F1 group?
So we had Lewis on.
Yeah.
And this was when he was coming on to talk about, you know, the season, Black Lives Matter, his movement. And if I'm being really honest, I didn't expect him to be as nice as he was because, you know, you see this race driver, he's won all these titles, he's dated all these super fit girls and super models, he's dripped in Dior, something you can't go H&M and buy a Lewis Hamilton outfit, right? And I was expecting, all right, cool, he backs it up on the track, he's going to be a bit, nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Sound. And his dog was there as well. Rocco, great dog. Yeah. No, but we've had celebrities come into the studio with their dogs and whatever. rubbish, like little chihuahuas. Mm. Roscoe, all right, he's got a snoring problem. He might have to see a vet in a couple of years. No, sound dog. Lewis Hamilton is sound as well. And he's just, he's got, also, and this sounds really, really silly, but he might be a little bit shorter than me, which is like, I'm kind of feeling, I'm 5'7", so I'm a short king, innit? So like when he's a little bit shorter than me, like, yeah, I could have him.
Yeah, you reckon, you back it. Maybe, I don't know, celebrity boxing merch, we could, that seems
yeah,
to be the...
Yeah, facts, that's the way these days.
If F1 wants to expand into, you know, new areas, then I think that's a call out, isn't it, surely?
No, please don't say that. No.
I'm pretty sure Lewis is a black belt, so like, well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about,
maybe you are as well.
Like a pretzel,
pocket size.
Probably like a pretzel. You're going to get me killed. But yeah, no, other than that, you know, you've had some really cool people. Alex Albon, he was at the Williams thing.
Oh.
It's just, doesn't stop smiling.
My guy.
He doesn't stop smiling. So he must know something that we don't know for you to be smiling that much in a Williams. You know what I mean? So
That's true. That's fair.
He's seen the underside of the car. It might be a table, but it's got potential.
It's a full table.
Yeah, literally. It's a quick table.
No, so, but other than that, with the show, you know, and we did a feature where it was Will Buxton, who's like renowned for saying the most obvious stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever wins this race gets P1.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. We did this thing with ChatGPT where we asked ChatGPT to give us like 5 quotes that Will Buxton would say, and you've got to guess which one Will said.
Yeah.
But the joke was they were all ChatGPT. We had callers in saying, well, yeah, I remember in Drive to Survive episode 2, he said that.
No,
it's all made up.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a good sport about it. He was a good sport about it, and he done as well. But yeah, so I started off as a sofa fan and then just embraced it that it's not going anywhere. My passion for it is not going anywhere.
Mm.
And you can't make me watch rugby, Dad. You know what I mean?
I was actually going to ask, were any like members of your family into it at all? Because I had this where I got into it just myself. Literally, I had like Hot Wheels cars. And I was like, fuck it, these are thick.
It's weird because like, in terms of like channels on the TV, you didn't have Sky Plus or Sky Go. You couldn't, there's no Sky multi-room.
Mm.
So whatever was on the TV, whoever's the oldest person in the room was in charge, and it was never chosen for racing. So no one was really into it. My nan's into it because I'm into it. Because like my nan's my biggest fan.
Yeah.
So like, I remember once, and it sounds really rude, I told my nan to like shut up. Because you know in you know it was Lewis and Max right at the end of the season. And I'm just sitting there like this at the end of my chair.
Like, and we're in a front room. Street coming on. It's like, nan,
shut up.
I've not the time.
Shut up. It's not allowed to do this, nan. And she was like, yeah, was it a good race? Yes, it was a good race, nan. You ruined it. But but she was sound about it. And like, you know, I remember I got a Lewis Hamilton, like 100 race or 100 wins shirt.
Yeah.
And I don't know who sent it in. It's like a load of promo. And I've got one for my nan, like a triple XL, but she wears it right around the house. If she knows a race, though, she'll put it on. But yeah, she's cool. So if I was watching it, she's watching it, but no one else in the family. Mm. Because like I said, the demographic where we live wasn't cool. We wanted to play for Arsenal. Yeah. All of us did. Arsenal or whoever.
Yeah.
It was just, racing was never, you know, open to me as a youngster.
And I think there was such a, you know, like as a kid I wanted to be a racing driver, that was the thing, but there's just not the money, the finance anywhere near, right? So there's no, like, people, it's very hard to imagine yourself in that position when everyone driving is born of some kind of wealth, some kind of privilege to get there in the first place. So you're I want to play West Ham, like, you know what I mean? Like, football would become the thing.
Today, guys, cheers. Yeah. You want to play West Ham?
It was the only part in his friendship group.
Just because we won a trophy last year.
We've
got £1.5 million and you got rice. So I'm kind of...
That's a good deal.
Although, no, that video at the end when it's like...
Welcome to North London.
What exactly is it?
I'm a gunner now or something like that.
The North is home now.
I watched it and I was like...
I know a guy at Arsenal.
That whole video was sick, by the way. Until
it was so good.
And I was like, I can't do this.
So my mate Callum is the digital... is the video guy at Arsenal. And I texted him saying, was this you? He went, no, that's all Adidas, mate. That's all Adidas.
Yeah,
great video. Right up until the end, bless him. I said he's not an actor, but But like going back to wanting to be a racer.
Yeah,
I think I looked into like just randomly one day how to become a race car driver, and it's all of this hard stuff, money this, money that. It's millions.
Yeah,
how to become an astronaut? Actually, a lot easier. To become an astronaut rather than a race car driver. Go uni, bang out uni, all these masters, PhDs. That seemed a lot easier to get into space than it is to get into a Williams or a McLaren. So yeah, it was just never on the cards. It was literally one of them dreams.
It's impossible, isn't it? Because like, you can just go park with your mates football. You need more than two jumpers to get a Formula 3 car.
And to get good enough, you need a family who's going to like support you and pay thousands and thousands and thousands as a 8, 9, 10 year old.
Yeah.
So that at that part of your life, you don't really have much control. You just kind of, oh, I like this. And then either your parents allow you to do it or not.
My parents couldn't even drive, let alone drive me to somewhere for me to drive.
There you go. And that's passed on down
down the generations.
You feel,
have you still not got a license yet?
No,
still not, man.
How were you hired on this thing then? Like, you don't know nothing about it.
We need a mixture of wheel knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You only understand the wheels that are kind of half with like loads of buttons on.
Yeah, exactly.
You put a normal like KA wheel in front of you.
Yeah, so when
you
jump
when you jump in a car, you're going to think it's like a Formula One car and get like 12 points in your first week.
Facts. Absolutely. Yeah, I will. Genuinely, the concept of a steering wheel.
Points on my super license, yeah?
Yeah, facts. You're going to a hand car wash and you expect the guys to
I'm going from MOT. So why is it not done yet? In like 2.5 seconds. What are you doing here?
Well, listen, we've as much as it's a difficult sport to get into and very few drivers get in, there's 20 seats. And unfortunately, which the writing did seem to be on the wall, so the first time we're going to be talking about it since it's happened.
Yeah,
of course. Nick DeVries.
By the way, of course this happened like 6 minutes after we released the last podcast.
Literally.
You guys just find me. I've got it straight in. Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo, Nick De Vries, what do we make of it? Alex, first of all, like De Vries getting dropped, do you think it was the right call? First and foremost.
Before that, I do think a lot of people are really like mugging De Vries off here because everyone is on this Daniel Ricciardo train. Some guy's just lost his job and he's lost his dream. And let's be honest, he's probably not going to get back to where he's going to, he's not probably going to get back to F1. So that is absolutely, genuinely so upsetting. Was it the right call? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know whether it's the car or if Yuki's faster, but De Vries, it just, for him, weren't happening. Mm-hmm. But Danny Ricciardo coming in is amazing because, you know, he's a character. He's a great driver. But I do think it's like smoke and mirrors for a lot of what's going on. And I don't think, I think there's a lot more better drivers than Danny Ricciardo. If we're being completely honest, you know, coming up through the ranks, you can have F2 drivers.
Well, so when you say better, what are you like better in terms of better potential or would do a better job?
Do a better job, better potential and better in the long run. Mm. Okay. But with Danny Ricciardo, I do think it's a big, not act, because I'm not going to take that away from Danny Ricciardo, but I think it's because Red Bull are so dominant and they're so boring in terms of like, oh, okay, Max is going to win. Okay, this is Red Bull. The entertainment factor's there. Dan Ricciardo's gone to Red Bull. Okay, De Vries might be going, so Red Bull might be putting him back in, which means, oh my God, next season he's going to take Perez's seat. I think it's all for entertainment purposes. I don't actually think that's ever going to happen.
We are talking about it a lot.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it makes any sense at all. But Danny Ricciardo, in terms of entertainment factor and driving, I think it's great. Maybe it boosts the morale a little bit of the team, but I don't see that as a long like standing position for Danny Ricciardo.
I'm really interested to see how it works out, to be fair, because like obviously off the back of McLaren, being honest, shit show in terms of performances, but there is like the one thing he does have is there's absolutely pretty much no pressure.
Oh, in my opinion. Yeah.
Exactly. All he's got to do is beat Yuki Tsunoda half the time, I reckon, and people would go, well, at least he's doing better than De Vries.
No, he just needs to get points. He just needs to do better than De Vries. That's literally it.
I think points is a huge ask, though. Because look where the AlphaTauri is.
So that's even less pressure because the AlphaTauri is awful.
If he got 2 points finishes the rest of the season, he smashed it. Because you're driving a Flintstone car. You know what I mean?
It's reliant, isn't it, on... You've got now that McLaren have joined the party, seemingly, right? They've jumped up. Aston Martin is still up there. You've got like five teams now. You've almost got that top 10. As long as they don't have technical gremlins, that top 10 is pretty much locked
off. Alpina right there as well.
So,
but you say that, it's just like, okay, the top 10 might be there, but in terms of strategy, it's like you've said a minute ago, it's been a shit show for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So
there's opportunities,
there is opportunities to get in there.
It looks like it might be raining in Hungary this weekend as well.
Again, what's going on? It's a sticky circuit as well.
Yeah.
It's like a warm...
humid as fuck. Like,
So look, he just needs to get points.
When you say you think there were drivers better suited than Ricciardo...
Liam Lawson. Thierry Pourchaire.
Yeah.
I just feel
that
like
that would be crazy. But, I don't know if that's possible.
But I just like him.
I could have paid for him. Yeah.
But I just feel like, in terms of the long run, like you're binning off Nick De Vries after what is it, 10, 11 races?
10 races.
Yeah.
Do you think that's harsh or
big time?
Yeah.
But that's Helmut Marko's mindset is nuts. You either do the job we're telling you to do and do it or you're out.
Yeah.
Which means Perez, okay, I'm going to say not next year, year after he's gone.
Yeah.
Even the pressure's on Max Verstappen, because everyone's under this impression that it's Max's team. No, it's the fastest driver's team. And that's what we've seen from all these decisions being made, right? So, yeah, I just feel like it's ruthless. You would never get that at Mercedes, even with the whole Schumacher thing. Like, he's like, oh, we'll give you a job over here. It's all right, we'll keep you sweet. Mm. Red Bull, don't mess around.
I've got a quote from Christian Horner. So, asked about...
slam it to the left, shake it to the right.
If he always had reservations about De Vries, and he said, yes, Nick is a very capable driver, F3 and F2 champion. He's got a lot of experience, but he's not a young driver. I just didn't see how he fit in the junior program, which again, like, this decision came from Helmut. This decision came from Red Bull, not Red Bull Racing, to get De Vries in the first place. And that's where this
was
whole...
Was that from Christian Horner?
That was from Christian Horner.
So...
Christian wasn't backing it.
But yeah, he never backed it. He was like,
But why is he even commenting if it's coming from Red Bull and not Red Bull Racing?
Well,
that just goes to show what the motive is. Whoever was sitting in the AlphaTauri seat should be in line for the Red Bull seat. Mm. Because if he's got, why are you talking about it, bruv? Don't focus on Max and Checo.
Yeah.
So that's where you can see there's definitely something going on there. So that's why I think Liam Lawson should have been sitting in the AlphaTauri.
Because Christian Horner unofficially does have, like, say over the AlphaTauri driver, even though like Helmut's the one who officially does, because so all the drivers are contracted to Red Bull. All the AlphaTauri and all the Red Bull drivers have always been contracted to Red Bull, not Toro Rosso or Red Bull Racing. So that means that they can do these swaps, whether it's Kvyat out for Verstappen or Hartley out for Gasly or whatever, right? That's how they've always done it, to make their lives a bit easier. But I mean, you were thinking Lawson as well when we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I was the only one who said Ricciardo, I'm pretty sure.
the only thing I get with Ricciardo, that's real knowledge. The only thing I get with Ricciardo is, like, at the end of the day, it is vast experience that you can maybe utilize to make Yuki Tsunoda quicker and maybe utilize to make that actual AlphaTauri quicker for next season. If it's a short-term thing, I actually don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of useful information that Daniel Ricciardo has that you can utilize to make next season a better season. But if Daniel Ricciardo is still in that AlphaTauri next season, it just doesn't really make that much sense to me when you've got Liam Lawson there.
Exactly. And I also feel like tapping up someone's, hey, look, that's a bit boring this season, isn't it? Let's get Dan Ricciardo back. Yeah. All right, sweet. Is all this. That's unofficial, by the way. That's just me making that up. But who knows?
I mean, they're not going to be unhappy, are they? Box films are not going to be unhappy about this.
I don't think Nick De Vries was a main character in All or Nothing. Mm. In All or Nothing, in Drive to Survive. That's all I'm going to say.
So I wonder if they'll cover this in the Apex GP film.
What it's going to be.
Because De Vries was there at
Silverstone. What's going on over there? Don't worry about that. Just film. Daniel Ricciardo's back.
They're going to have to superimpose Daniel Ricciardo's face onto the British footage.
You just know the episode, right? With Nick De Vries going out, it's going to be, how you doing, mate? I'm back. That's literally going
to
be.
To be fair, there's been like barely any coverage. Like the team, AlphaTauri barely tweeted about De Vries. F1 barely tweeted about De Vries.
I think that's so bad.
Which a lot
though.
Of people found that quite disrespectful, which I understand.
I think that's quite disrespectful because, like, at the end of the day, like, whether you think that he's done a good job in the first 10 races of the season or not, he's still been an employee. And like you said earlier, this is a massive emotional barrier now in terms of his like racing career. Bruh, the least you could do is go, thank you for his service. Give him a tweet, like, say goodbye, give him a video or something.
Do it on the toilet, like, it's fine.
Anything, like,
it happens all the time. Like, so I've been in position in terms of like radio where 1 minute I'm doing one show and next minute I'm not doing it.
Mm.
And like everyone's celebrating all these other people. Oh my God, this celebrity's got a show.
Yeah,
But you're here like, I ain't got a job now.
Yeah.
Like, so that's where I kind of feel like I kind of relate to him a little bit, where it's like, this is actually really, really upsetting because his dream is done. I'm sorry, you don't... Who else has been dropped after Bar Alex album? Who else has been dropped? In like last... Karen didn't get back on, did he really?
Mm. The thing is as well,
Alex,
like,
had two full seasons to at least give more evidence. Yeah. And he was a lot younger than him as well.
Yeah, 10 races at age 28. It's a
wrap. Listen, like, Formula E champion, F2 champion, like, he will have a career in motorsport. There's plenty of drivers. What, you have Marcus Ericsson doing bits in IndyCar after he got destroyed by Leclerc at Albemarle Sauber. Yeah, you've got Grosjean Hartley. Grosjean, like, Hartley in Le Mans. Like, he's been on the podium.
Le Mans.
That's the full extent of my friend. Done. Yeah. Been and done. But love it. That's the thing. I just think that there is a career for him outside, but also, I just think the Ricciardo move, you know what I think is a really interesting one? What they do with the AlphaTauri team next year.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about, we're going to take the AlphaTauri name off. They've confirmed that. What are they going
to
call it?
Weren't they trying to sell it? Weren't they trying to sell it?
Yeah. That was being rumoured. Now, are they trying to, you know, build the value of the team up by getting Ricciardo in, getting some points on the board so that they're not last, and then to maybe sell
they're
it off?
Be last.
Have they got a big title sponsor that they've found to then bankroll the team?
It's weird. I always feel like, you know, Formula One is half driving and half like gossip and EastEnders style sitcom arguments.
So
who knows? Like, you know, you've got Danny Ricciardo going to AlphaTauri. They sell AlphaTauri. Is he technically an AlphaTauri employee and no longer with Red Bull? So they've kind of got rid of that. You just don't know all of these things, all these little contract moves as well. So, but look, I will stick by my guns and say this whole Danny Ricciardo thing, yes, he's experienced. Yes, he's a great driver. He done really good in the sim the other day in a Red Bull and on the track in a Red Bull. Let's just remember that, not AlphaTauri. I think it's for entertainment purposes because Max is dominating so much, he's making it boring.
Didn't he spin on his test as well in the Red Bull?
He did have a little spin, yeah.
A little spin.
But it's just for entertainment purposes because no one's talking about Max. The last couple of years, it was, oh, Max is this, Max that. No one's talking about Max because in the nicest possible way, it's boring to see him win. That's why we're talking, you know, oh, who's going to get second? Who's going to get third, guys? We should be saying who's going to get first. Yeah. It's not, it's going to be Max. So that's why.
But that's the important distinction as well. It's not the Red Bull, it's Max in the Red Bull, right? Because Checo, like,
he must be feeling,
surely part of this as well. I know you say entertainment, and I think that's a factor for sure, but surely as well, that presence of Daniel Ricciardo, this guy who's, he's been closer to Max than anyone has, right? Yeah. In 2018, I know that's a long time ago, but Max is still, I think, pace hasn't grown, I think, massively. It's the full package that Max has now that maybe he didn't back then. But surely this puts even more pressure on Checo. And I mean, do you think there's a chance? Do you think there's any chance Ricciardo replaces Checo next year?
No. Absolutely
you don't think
not.
That's.
I've got this mad.
Even if Checo keeps like fucking it up like he is at the minute,
he is stinking the
thing
place
is,
up.
The thing is, right? It's like you said, it's not Max the driver, you know. Red Bull make a car for the fastest driver. That is Max Verstappen. Can Checo drive Max's car? No. But can Max drive a car that was suited to Checo? No. He won't be able to do it. That's why they cater to the fastest driver, right? I think, now this might be outlandish and I might get dragged on social media. I think when Checo leaves, Red Bull are going money moves for Lando Norris. Lando Norris, because he represents what Red Bull is about. We were talking earlier.
I'll take it. I'll get free Red Bull.
Helmets literally said that as well.
It's like, yeah. You got the Gen Z fans, right? Look at the Papaya fans. And I love McLaren fans because they're brilliant and they're young and they're so new to it. And it's like, all these Gen Z fans love Lando.
Mm.
They have to grow as well.
Mm.
So when they grow up and they become of a different age, like how I used to love Lewis as a millennial, now I'm still backing Lewis in the Mercedes. Lando has to go to Red Bull because that's the next stage for him. That's the next powerhouse for him. And that's where his fans and the McLaren fans will end up.
Mm.
Because these Gen Z fans and McLaren, I don't think will stay with McLaren in years to come. So put Lando in a Red Bull car, I think, would he challenge for a championship? Two seasons in, I think he would. I think he would. But I feel like he would do better chasing Verstappen or defending for Verstappen than he is at McLaren now.
I've just deeped how much of a mad combination that would be for fan bases if both Lando and Max drove for the same
and
team.
And the Dutch love Lando as well. he gets big following, big pops over there as
100%
well.
100% of fans at Zandvoort would be supporting Red Bull.
Yeah.
I just think it's like, I think it's just such a good move.
Why are they always catching straight?
I said this the other day. Nobody likes Haas as a team. As like a car. They're like characters.
Yeah.
NPC.
Because I just like Günther Steiner just kicking off. That's literally it.
It's just no one, unfortunately, cares because they're at the back. No one like cares about these smaller teams. Like no one really cares about Alfa Romeo, like Sauber.
If someone in the comment section cares about Alfa Romeo, please inform us. That's just like an actual educational.
I care about the individual drivers, but the teams themselves. And like you say, if you want to build, Red Bull are in this sport for marketing.
Yeah.
That's it. They're in the business of selling energy drinks. So every decision they make, they have to be concerned. And look, you could argue that about any team, right? But it's a little bit different with a Mercedes, a McLaren, an Aston Martin who sell road cars. Red Bull are in it for marketing 100%.
The thing is with Red Bull, they're born like into marketing. Mm. So you know how Red Bull got famous?
Yeah.
Got energy drinks, but how did they market them? They screwed up energy cans, just chucked them around the place, put them in bins. So when you go to a bin, put your can of Diet Coke in there, oh, there's loads of Red Bulls in there. I'm going to give that a go. That's how smart they are. Mm. So by planting the seed that Danny Ricciardo's coming to Red Bull and Checo's going to be out, and we're also sniffing for Liam Lawson and so-and-so, it's marketing. It's to make us talk about it because Max is so dominant. Like, we don't talk about the person at the top so much. Mm. We talk about who's going to take over. That's literally what it is. Watch anything on TV. Watch Succession. Who's going to be taking over number one? If you're not watching, by the way, very, very good.
Okay.
So that's it's just to keep that rumour mill going.
Yeah. And what about Ricciardo Tsunoda? How do we reckon that head-to-head at AlphaTauri?
I don't think Danny Ricciardo gives a shit. I don't think he cares. I don't think... Like, you know, he got so... When he was with Max, you could tell he was scared for his life because Max was going to be the poster boy of Red Bull. So he was scared. He was like, oh, I've got to do this with it. I don't think he gives a shit because I think deep down he knows he's not going to be.
So why do you think Ricciardo's come back?
A bit money.
you just think that's it?
No, definitely not. No, I feel like, you know, for me.
Surely he thinks he's got a shot at Red Bull. Surely.
Surely he thinks he's got a shot at
what's the point? I think he's got a shot maybe on the F1 grid. I don't think it's Red Bull. But also, like, ask anyone that's in any sport. If they've got a chance to do what they do week in, week out, you do it. For me, I'm a radio presenter. If you could say to me, and I got sacked, right? Hypothetically, I get sacked from Kiss and I get Capital knocking the door saying, hey, do you want to do a bit of cover? Of course I would, because it's in my blood to do it. Mm. So he's a racer. He's not just like a B-Tech driver. He's a racer. So if you get offered to drive fast cars around a track, you've got to do it. But I think deep down he knows he's not back at Red Bull.
Yeah, I mean, that is somewhat... I remember when Kevin Magnussen, when he had his year out in 21, and he talked about how, like, when he left, he was quite content that, you know, he'd had his brief moment in the sun at McLaren when he got that podium on his debut and like, you know, and then he'd gone at Haas and he was kind of midfield, lower midfield, the whole career. And then he was like, you know what, I can bin this off, go to America, do a bit of, like, sports car racing in America. And like within 6 months, he was like, I want to come back. Yeah. Even if it's at the back of the grid.
I don't care. Yeah,
like, he was just like, I want to be back.
Yeah.
So I do think that plays into it. I think with Ricciardo, this is an 8-time race winner. Like, I don't know. I think.
Yeah. Can we just say he has to beat Yuki Tsunoda? Is that like a fair thing to say? I know he's been out of.
If he was any that, shot
that
at that seat.
That would just show then it's not the car, it's Yuki being faster than Nyck de Vries. So that was the whole thing. It was like, oh yeah, maybe it's because Nyck de Vries is a bad driver, or is he in driving a rubbish car? If Yuki beats Danny Ricciardo, we'll know it's because Yuki's faster.
Yeah.
Because on paper, Danny Ricciardo should.
And to be fair, if Yuki batters Ricciardo, like, that gives a Red Bull a bit of a something to think about, because Yuki's 23, so he's super young.
Yeah.
If he beats Ricciardo, like, convincingly, and Ricciardo, I think, he had the shit McLaren spell, but like he's a known entity at Red Bull. Like, they know how to get the best out of him. And if he can beat, then that gives them a decision to make around Tsunoda, I think.
I just think Danny Ricciardo's in the best possible position, because if he gets beat by Yuki Tsunoda, it's because he came in halfway through the season.
Yeah, facts.
If he beats Yuki Tsunoda, it's because he's one of the greatest 8-time winner and he's got Red Bull blood in him. It's win-win for Danny Ricciardo. It really is. Do I see him on the grid next year? Maybe, but mid-table. Even, you might chuck him in Alfa Romeo. Like, who knows?
Well, projects maybe, like, as a long-term gamble.
So, okay.
Yeah,
I think he wants to be at the front again. I completely disagree. I think that's his number one motivation.
So do I.
He got the bag from McLaren. They paid him like 18 mil, I think.
Allegedly.
I think it was about 18 mil. I think it was about 18 mil that he's paid to, like, you know, leave that contract early.
Yeah.
If he's not motivated by winning in F1, then go do. I think he is. I think he wants to get. I think this is his best shot at getting a top seat. He's 34 years of age.
Project, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that was obviously a mistake. Him leaving Red Bull in the first place to go to Renault.
He acted on impulse there. Something I've done in the past before. He acted on impulse because he's got his younger driver coming through who everyone loves. I'm going to leave and I'm going to be better than you. Didn't happen. It happens a lot in sports, in media world, in music world as well. So he acted on impulse and did it bite him in the ass? It did. But if you're talking from a race perspective, yes, it did bite him in the ass. But he's been all right after that. You know, I think it took a long time for him to come to terms with the fact that he made a rubbish decision leaving Red Bull. Would he be at Red Bull now, though? Who knows? With all these drivers coming through, I don't think he...
I feel like either way, he would have ended up leaving eventually. Because what? We're like 6 years down the line from when he left? Or is it five?
It was 20... What was his first season at Renault? 2019.
2019, yeah.
But that was that trickle effect from like Red Bull. Like, just... I felt like... They just, anything to do with Danny Ricciardo, they just got rid of. I feel like they were really bitten by that. Even by getting rid of the Renault engines. It's like, all these little things. I just feel like, I don't want to say he's had his time. He's not going to challenge for top. He's not going to get the top car. Not when you've got young, amazing drivers there. Mm. I'd stick him in, like, say, okay, the Audi project, I think that'd be great for him. Oh, we've got Danny Ricciardo. This is amazing. Or Andretti, because I know they're going to accept it. So, rumour is the FIA are accepting it.
Yeah.
Put him in the Andretti. He'll smash it with the American team because he's that character. This is why we talk about this Apex film. It's all about characters and show from America. Give him Danny Ricciardo. He can give them what they want. Not necessarily on the track, hopefully, but they'll give him that.
Maybe even Aston Martin when Alonso does eventually retire, which has to happen at some point, right? Maybe.
They love
a big ticket driver.
Yeah.
They dropped Perez
drivers,
after a sick season for Vettel. And then got in Alonso, two of the greatest this modern generation.
No, but that is because they've got Stroll in the other seat. They can't actually get rid of him.
They can. He just needs to man up.
Your son.
So, Papa, please don't do it. No, man. Come on. I'm not thinking of the team.
Sometimes you just got
to fire your son.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to be a heavy hand. Like, do you get what I'm
Listen,
saying?
Listen, Lance. Go home, Lance.
It's tough love. Yeah, it's fine.
Because I look at, this sounds proper weird, but I look at some of the principles as like, not like leaders of state, right? Same war. Mm. Think of it like this. You've got Toto Wolff, who's very calculated. He doesn't do anything on impulse, right? Yeah. Even with the whole, the car situation now, he's not going to act on impulse and change this now. He's going to wait till next season. It's like more about, you know, they might have won the battle, but we will win the war. You know, you've got Christian Horner, who acts on impulse. We need to win this.
Yeah.
I feel like Stroll is like the arms dealer of all the wars, because he'd be like, okay, I'm going to give you millions, make it work. That's what I feel like. That's what he's good at. He will pump all that into the team, but he won't sack his son.
Yeah.
It's like a Game of Thrones.
His son's like a general and he's doing a terrible job. Someone else could do this role better.
It's like a Game of Thrones vibe, isn't it? Yeah. It's, we're losing because this dickhead is not fucking driving. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon the one thing, there is obviously a board at Aston Martin, but obviously that must, because look, Lance is obviously not at the level of Fernando Alonso. He's not anywhere near. And if they want to fight for a constructors, they can't. Mm. They're one hand behind their back. They can't do that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, how much they motivate? I would say that Lawrence cares more about Aston Martin winning a driver's title than he does about them winning a constructors.
Well, I don't know.
Because the driver's title is the one that gets all the plaudits. No one gives a fuck that Ferrari won the constructors.
But do you think money? Constructors get the money.
He got money.
Do you think he actually cares that much? If it's not Stroll who wins it, though. On my life, I genuinely don't think he even.
Mate, Fernando is basically his new son. I might as well just change his surname.
I think when Lance broke his hands,
Fernando Stroll.
I think when Lance broke his hands, Lawrence was there like, okay, chop him off. Chop him off then. Chop him off. He can't do it no more. Chop them hands off. And then he recovers. Oh, shit.
It's actually his mum that's just like...
It's a shame it's not his stepson because he'd have been gone ages ago.
Exactly.
I just feel like now with all this, how good Aston Martin has become, we are on an Aston Martin and McLaren hype train, let's be honest. I feel like he'll think, okay, now I might have to get rid of my son.
That's going to be such a difficult
question. The thing is, would you even blame him?
Reserve driver.
Would Lance be like, do you know what, Dad? I don't blame you. I'm crap.
Surely. He'd have to beef him. I think that would, That's an awkward Christmas dinner.
Look, again, it's ultimately you get to a stage where you have to decide as a managing a team what's going to maximise your opportunity to win a driver's championship. That for me has to be number one priority. It's the same conversation around, Max is fine. Max and Checo is fine because Max is winning the constructor's title on his own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Perez, fucking up. It's not an issue right now. Now, obviously next year, or maybe 2025, if there's all of a sudden the Mercedes and the Ferrari, they've started to converge on the Red Bull, then all of a sudden Checo making these mistakes gets punished exponentially more because then he's starting this much further back and he can't drive through the field like he is somewhat doing now.
This is what we have with Bottas at Mercedes.
Yeah, and it's
Bottas ended up getting.
Yeah, whenever there's a big gap between teammates, it's always gonna.
But Bottas always got to Q3, so
he did.
No, he did. Yeah,
which is so true. That's the thing. People had a pop at Bottas for not being close enough to Lewis, but at the end of the day, he scored I think 30% of the time over the course of their 5 years, he outqualified Lewis.
Mm. So
one in three is pretty significant.
With Perez, there's a mental aspect to it as well. Even last season, I feel him commenting on, don't know why he didn't let me through and I've helped him out so much. I feel like that's bit him in the arse a little bit because he's had a little snap at Starboy. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't talk about Max like that. Don't do that. Don't you ever do that.
Well, I think Checo felt owed. Owed.
He was owed. He was owed. He definitely was
owed. He doesn't feel. But also, I think he's not held up his end of the bargain because he's made these fucking mistakes that
this season. Yeah.
Some of these mistakes have been like mad.
He's overdriving so much.
Like that,
he's
trying to Austria qualifying one and Monaco. Them two. I'm like, Perez, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can't forgive those. They're ridiculous.
That's like a once in three season mistake you should be doing. Like,
and again, Bottas didn't do it once in 5 years.
Yeah.
Not once. He was always in Q3.
So hang on a second. So what were the five? So Silverstone, he just wasn't actually quick enough, which is mental. That almost is even worse. Like,
yeah. You'd want mental to happen rather than not being fast.
Yeah. If you've been it, then okay, you shouldn't have done
that. He was on those
reason.
Tires at the end of the pits for a long time, which I know is a bit, was that a bit of Red Bull, a bit of him? I don't know. But yeah.
Probably was a bit of Red Bull as well. But.
Spain was changeable, wasn't it? And he went off into the gravel. Fucked it. Monaco Q1, turn one. You can't do that. If you do that in Q3, I can forgive that because you're pushing full tilt for pole. Yeah.
Lap in Q1. Turn one.
No.
Q1.
No, first lap
of the whole day. Yeah, that's mental.
That's crazy. And then obviously Austria track limits.
When you put it like that, I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Austria track limits. He had like almost half a second in hand.
Yeah.
That final corner, he could have just coasted through there. It'd have been got through to Q3
easy.
He could
have got out and ran to the line. No pressure. Just stop. I don't know.
I can't even remember the other one. What's the fifth one?
Fuck knows, mate. There's too many. There's actually just too many to remember.
Too many mistakes. Sounds like me at like one of my teacher's parents' evenings. Like I've just mistakes. Like just forgot. Just forgot.
But just imagine Ferrari, Mercedes were up there in the fight with Max, with let's say Lewis and Charles. Oh. This would look a lot worse for Checo. Yeah. He's still second in the drivers' championship.
Yeah.
He's still second because everyone else fucked up. You know.
Yeah.
That's the way. I see
the thing is with like. We've not spoken about Ferrari at all, which is such a shame. Because like last season, there was so much hope.
Mm.
And now...
And so much despair.
Yeah. But it's like, we're not speaking about them because I don't think they're... Even next season, I don't think they'll be a contender anyway because I think there's going to be a mad like force that happens at Ferrari. I feel like Sainz will go. When's his contract up? Do you know when Carlos Sainz's contract?
I think it's the end of next year.
And, okay.
They're talking about Alex
Leclerc,
2025, aren't they?
Is Leclerc's contract?
There's been rumours that Fred's shot down, but there's been rumours that they're thinking about Alex to replace Checo, to replace Sainz at the end of 24.
When's Leclerc's contract up, by the way? Is it still the end of this year? Or?
I'm not sure. They gave him a long one, didn't they? But that was a while ago. Like when he signed, they gave him a five-year deal.
I think it might be
the end of 25, maybe.
Might
not be.
See, Ferrari for me is like...
I'm bugging.
Going back to that little analogy I did of like, Toto being this. And so I think Freddie's like, I don't want to say bumbling idiot. He's the guy that just doesn't know what's going on. I feel like he's trying to keep a straight face, but I don't think he knows what's going on with that Ferrari, genuinely.
But I mean, I don't like
drivers or engine or anything.
But the upper management of Ferrari just can't help but put their noses in. I think that's the biggest problem. It's interference
from... It's just not bothered. Like, no offense,
the people at the top, because Toto is given full reign.
Yep.
And like Daimler just leave him to it and Ineos, and he owns a third of that team. So they just leave Toto to it.
Yeah.
Red Bull just leave Christian to it in terms of the running of the operating of the team. All these top teams, Ferrari, the upper management just can't help themselves. And I think that's a big part of why it doesn't...
Too many cooks, mate.
Fred's replacing Binotto, I don't think... I wasn't going to change things immediately. I'm not massively surprised that things haven't...
Do you think people are chipping in because they don't believe in Fred as much?
I just think that's Ferrari. I think they've always done it.
That's Ferrari.
Yeah. Like, since Jean-Todd, Ross Brawn, like that era kind of moved on... Like, I think that's always
crazy,
been
crazy, isn't it? Because it was so well managed back then. Well, relatively speaking.
But then, like, in terms of drivers at Ferrari, I don't see Leclerc being a legacy Ferrari driver. I feel like if McLaren ever, if Mercedes ever sniff around him, he's gone. You know,
Red Bull have been sniffing around him as well.
I don't see him at Red Bull.
Yeah, that looks weird.
I just don't see him. I just feel like
I photoshopped it. It looks really weird.
It's weird. I just don't see it happening as well because
even Mercedes though.
The only thing is, like he tries to battle Max. Okay, last season it was tight. You know, Byron. I remember watching Byron last season. I was sick. I was like, come on,
yeah, man.
Such a good race. I don't think he'd be a number two driver.
I agree with that.
That's half the job as well. Coming to terms with the fact you are number two driver. That's why I think Lando would be very good at Red Bull because he's a number one driver at McLaren. Great, but being number two at Red Bull and not just, being number two, learning everything. Because if you're behind Max, you get to learn what Max does. in a car, which I think he can keep up to. Like, so not only are you learning from Max what he does, you're learning how to get around him. That this is what I'm thinking. If you're following someone or working alongside someone, you're going to find their flaws quicker than you find all of their praise. I guarantee.
But what I would say, why would Red Bull invite that? Why wouldn't they just keep a number two alongside Max?
It's about having the fastest driver. This is what people don't get. Oh, Max owns Red Bull. Max is Red Bull. No, he's not. The fastest driver is what Red Bull are about. Mm-hmm. That Helmut Marko is, I don't want to say lunatic, but he is all about the fastest driver. And it just so happens it's Max Verstappen at the moment. Maybe put Alex Albon in that car. Okay, cool. I don't think he's ever going back. Like, I don't. I think all them rooms will be shut down. Imagine if you put Alex Albon in that and he...
I can't do that again. I can't do 2020 again.
Hypothetically, right? You know, you put Alex Albon, whoever in, and they go faster than Max. Do you not think that Red Bull would then cater towards a faster driver? And say, okay, he's doing this in this car, but if we did this, that would suit him a little bit better. He'll get a second here, half a second there. It's about the fastest driver. Okay, Mercedes, I think it's a Lewis Hamilton thing because not only is he an amazing driver, he's a great poster boy for Mercedes and he's basically part of the family. Red Bull's not a family. They're a business.
I disagree.
Do you think?
I think Max is so entrenched into Red Bull. They support that. So Max has got his own like race team that he started, Verstappen.com Racing, which is Red Bull powered, partnered. Like I went to Austria. And you, the sea of Verstappen fans, it's all Max. I feel like, in a different way, but I think Mercedes has this super close connection with Lewis. They've supported him his entire career.
Yeah, yeah.
Back when he was, you know, karting, very early doors, Mercedes picked him up. McLaren Mercedes when he was there, all that. I do think that there is similarities in the strength of relationship between Max and Red Bull. I do think there are similarities. That I don't think it's... I don't think it's the case of they would just bin Max off because I just think Max is such a... Having seen that firsthand, I mean, you've been Zandvoort as well.
Yeah, like, fucking hell.
The support for Max and how Red Bull, with their marketing, you know, and the fact that Max was the first Dutch world champion, he was like the youngest to win a race ever. They hadn't had like... They'd had Doornbos, they'd had a couple of like drivers towards the back, Dutch drivers. But the convergence around Max is so strong. I actually think... that adds to it. I think Max is the best, but also I think that as well.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I think the board meeting between Helmut Marko and Toto Wolff is completely different. Toto Wolff's like, oh, do you know what? We can't get rid of Lewis. Oh, he's like a son to me, whatever. Like, Helmut would be like, okay, who's fastest? Okay, it's got to be done. That's how I think. It's not necessarily about being part of the family. Because Danny Ricciardo, you know, like he was part of the family. He was a Red Bull boy and they let him go. If they didn't want him to go so much, they would have clawed him in. How many times do you think Lewis Hamilton has said to Toto, do you know what? Fuck this, I'm going Ferrari. No, don't do it, Lewis, don't. That's that family vibe. Red Bull were like, whatever. This on paper, we need to make it work. That's literally it. Whether he's ingrained in it or not, that's, I think their mentalities are completely different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear it. I do. I think the one thing I will say is like Max feels unbeatable.
Feels untouchable.
Yeah. So I know it's Max in a Red Bull and the Red Bull is so strong, but I genuinely look at the grid and I don't actually see anyone that would beat Max across an entire season at this moment in time. In 2 years, maybe very different. You've got George Russell who's a new driver. You've got Lando who's a who's obviously getting better and better. There's a lot of young talent on the grid right now. But at this moment in time, I feel like anyone that Red Bull go for, they're looking and going, well, it's ultimately you're a second driver. Yep. But I don't think they have that to worry about in the sense of like rumbling the culture or it still being Max's team. But it would be interesting to see Lando in there.
Yeah, but who knows? But like, this is the thing. Like, what if that's the best thing about F1? It's like, okay, what we said earlier, Danny Ricciardo. What if he did beat Yuki? What if he did go for a seat at the front for next season? That's the best thing about Formula One because there is a lot of what ifs. What if Lando Norris signs at the end of his contract and out qualifies Verstappen or beats him to a podium? What if? What happens then? The space time continuum just flips up and Lando Norris is now the poster boy of Red Bull. That's what's going to happen because Red Bull are all about staying current. How many energy drinks have been and gone? Let's think about it in terms of energy drinks. But you're always going to have... I've got one under the desk, bruv. It's here.
Yeah.
It's there.
I've got the merch.
Yeah.
So they stay current.
We'll drink one today, probably.
You know what I mean? So like, you got to think of it like that. What if
okay, you say what ifs. All right. What if this McLaren pace that we've seen the last two races isn't a flash in the pan? What if they are seriously back? Because Lando's number one at that team, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So if he went to Red Bull, he would be, at least in the short term, at least number two to Max.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we saying that, you know, if McLaren do deliver on this and become part of this chasing group that are converging on Red Bull, maybe next year, almost, you know, they've set their sights on 2025 mm-hmm. being the year that they can fight for race wins. Do we think this is a flash in the pan from McLaren, or do we think they are serious now? Have they shown enough in these last two races? It's two races.
Yeah, no, it's only two, so it's really hard to tell.
And we're not giving Piastri any credit, because I think he was the highest scoring rookie since Hamilton, something like that. So
yeah,
B4.
Yeah. I really hope.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I really hope it's not a flash in the pan. If it's not a flash in the pan, guarantee in a couple of years, Red Bull will give him an offer he can't refuse.
But I feel like if you're Lando, though, for me, if this McLaren pace is not a flash in the pan, yeah, and it is actually, if we go into next season, McLaren are the second best car on the grid. Again, this is all hypothetical. Yeah.
Imagine.
What if? Imagine, yeah. What ifs again, yeah. If you're Lando, you can't go Red Bull. For me, you can't. Because
immediately.
Why, like, you have an opportunity there. Even if the McLaren's the second best car, just being in a different car to Max Verstappen gives you an opportunity to be in a better car than Max Verstappen at some stage.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't see any logic going to Red Bull.
Not immediately, okay, so say it is a flash in the pan. Mm. Red Bull will still...
If it is a flash in the pan,
So say this is just like a couple of races and they're smashing it. Red Bull will still be looking at Lando Norris as a potential target, because this flash in the pan, he drove around and got podiums for.
Mm.
But if it's not a flash in the pan, they're going to see how McLaren got on, and then they'll make a move on him. That's literally what it's going to be, because, you know, if you can't beat him, join him in some ways. If he is smashing it in that McLaren, they are going to get him out of McLaren.
Yeah, because either Red Bull can offer him the best car, or they can take him away from a direct rival if McLaren make as good a car.
They can make him the biggest thing in the world, right? That's what they can
do. And Max would be insane, marketing-wise.
That would be crazy.
It would be amazing. It would be so good, but you just know Lando will fight to be a number one driver, which a lot of people are scared of doing with Max. Even Checo, he tried it, he backed off, he can't do it. Danny Ricciardo tried to defend against Max, he can't do it. I think Lando is the only person that will be up his arse in terms of racing. And, who knows? And fight for his position.
Yeah.
They're both going to be fighting for number one. And I feel like Max does think he's untouchable. He is untouchable. It's Max Verstappen in that car. But I just think, you know, all good things come to an end.
I've just realised, man, Max Verstappen and Lando Norris with Daniel Ricciardo as a reserve driver doing TikToks is marketability.
It's like the Saudi League, bro. It's like the Saudi League.
They're like super close as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lando and Max are good friends.
They're really good.
Because I know Danny and Lando didn't get on at first. Because I feel like there was that.
Position of power. Yeah. I think they get along well now. Definitely.
Yeah, they do now. I think it was just like everyone went, oh my God, you're funny. Be friends. And it was like, okay, well, we don't actually know each other that well. Let's just like chill out for a second.
Yeah.
Like, now they are actually just going to
make Yeah, they get along like...
Maybe some people just don't work together. That's literally what it is.
Yeah. I'm sure I saw a TikTok from Ricardo, and they asked him like three drivers you'd be on a desert island with. And he said Max, Lando, and someone else, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So,
Alex Albon.
See, that's the podcast in the thing, like Desert Island Drivers. So there
Desert
you go.
Island.
Desert Island Drivers.
One edition.
But yeah, no, but like, look, I'm excited to see it. Do I want to see Danny Ricciardo do well? Yes and no. Yes, because he's back. No, because De Vries has been treated like shit. Mm. I just want to see Lewis win again. And I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. And
do you think Mercedes will give him that opportunity?
I think with Mercedes, they've got the tenure of being like incredible at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not acting quick enough. I feel like they're looking at next season, potentially season after, or whatever, but I still think they're going to miss the boat. And I feel like they need to act more on impulse. Where I said Christian Horner acts on impulse and we need this and we need that, Toto's still so slow. Look at pit stops. Look at all these little things.
Yeah,
that stop a Mercedes.
Season, yeah.
3.9 or 4.1 or whatever I saw. I was like, that's just not good.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like, come on. And it's just not fair on Lewis, because there's that argument of like, is he driving the fastest car? Is that why? Or is he just an amazing driver? It's because he's an amazing driver. Because look at this season, they've not, you know, pushed for anything, and he's still got more points than George, I think. And he's still getting points for Mercedes and still getting a podium. So I just feel like Mercedes are a bit slow. I think in a lot of aspects.
Mm. I think my, I don't know, maybe this is not true, like, but I just think that that years, those years of them at the front where they did have the best package and they had Lewis to get the most out of it,
yeah,
they could afford more than other teams to let those kind of things slide a little bit.
Yeah. It's complacency. Complacency always slips.
Well, if you're a midfield team scrapping for every last point, you're going to make sure all those little tiny things are absolutely nailed on. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Mercedes allowed that to slip a bit.
Imagine you saying like, oh, Toto, like the pit stop's not that good. Yeah, but we've got Lewis. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you make up for it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just feel like...
we just won by 45 seconds. Oh, yeah, fair enough.
And also it's like, as a McLaren, Mercedes fan, I'm still living in the glory days a little bit.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
No, but in terms of like, you know, but like, I just feel like, oh, we can do it. Oh, do you remember this? Do you remember that? I don't want any more do you remembers. I want, do you think we can do this?
Yeah.
And because like, you think, okay, the glory days, what, three seasons ago?
Or, 2020,
yeah,
21.
That's a long time because it's been a lot of shit that's happened in Formula One in that time. So for me, it's like, I think Mercedes owed Lewis a title.
Mm.
I think Lewis could go to another team and contend for a title. I'm pretty sure. And also, look, listen, like we go back to McLaren. So, oh, is it a flash in the pan? If it's not a flash in the pan, Piastri, Lewis is coming back to McLaren. I feel if he,
wow,
if he could see, if
imagine
he could,
that.
Because Lewis has to leave Mercedes one day. You either...
Do you reckon he goes to another
team? He'll just retire?
No, because Lewis's contract is still not signed as far as we know.
I don't think
we thought it was going to get signed maybe like a couple of weeks ago, but now it seems to have been drawn out. Like,
yeah. I don't think he's just going to go into the night. I don't think, oh, that's me done, guys. No, I think he's going to go back home. And I feel like he's waiting.
He was very happy for McLaren at Silverstone. Did you see his comments?
He put him on.
He was like, I'm so happy for
McLaren. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would love to have that moment again where I see this, from what I remember watching, this young black dude who's like representing a whole different community, like the people that I hang about with, just whip it around a circuit and win. I would love for him to come home.
You know what would be sick? I don't want to be boring yet. McLaren are never going to swap Piastri out for Hamilton because Piastri is like another generation.
We're doing what ifs, mate. We're doing what ifs.
I know. But if the what if is Lando going to Red Bull, there's a seat there.
There you go.
There's a seat there.
There you go.
That's true.
Lewis and Piastri at McLaren.
I just...
Make that happen. Oh my God, that would be sick.
And also,
imagine that's how you won the 8th title. Oh my God, nah.
This is like Apex GP, isn't it? We're just doing that.
Hamilton's
going to go McLaren. Piastri, like, oh my God, he's a legacy driver. I'm going to beat... It's going to be sick. I just feel like... Because I was chatting about like even different races, like Formula E and stuff. I'm like, well, Lewis, no, he's never going to do that. No. He's never going to go Indy. He's going to go out either with a bang, with the 8th title.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't, he's going to go home to McLaren. And I just hope. And I hope it's not papaya. I really, because they kind of like...
Nah, they, you know, love it. They love it too
much.
They like
kind of catfished us a little bit with Silverstone, didn't it? Oh, we're going to go chrome. Where?
On the top.
On the mirrors?
Bit on
where?
The back.
From like one angle, it's chrome.
Yeah.
And then I was there for the launch. They pulled the thing off.
Did everyone just go... Oh.
And I was like... It looks the same. Oh, okay. It's kind of chrome from like certain angles. And yeah, I was a bit underwhelmed, I'll be honest.
But I would just love that whole, you know, Ronaldo coming back to Man United vibe. You know, he's like...
Oh yeah, that didn't go well, did it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, you know, who knows? You might go to a Saudi league, they might put some up there. But you know, that kind of like, he's back.
Mm.
Welcome home. One more season. One fight. Was it like the last dance or something?
Yeah.
That's what I'd want. But that's just me being a fan.
I'll be honest.
Would it happen? Probably not.
If Lewis Hamilton went back to McLaren and won his 8th title there, this is the best sport ever. I'm telling you facts. That would be like the most romantic storyline I think Formula One's ever seen. I'm not even going to lie.
Netflix, their shares would go through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
The story of that would be crazy. I feel Mercedes, at this stage now, I think Mercedes have got to give him like... stock or shares in, like,
probably does, you know, to be fair. He probably got some like secret company in there.
You think so? I saw something about, is it Roger Federer? He owns like a percentage of On Running, which is worth like 180 million now.
Yeah,
mental.
Like, it's a multi-billion-pound company, and he's got in early and now it's grown.
Yeah,
well, I mean, Lewis is doing that with the Broncos, isn't it?
He's got
Broncos, he's got Neatburger,
you know,
he's got...
especially with all the stuff that's happening in America, he's definitely like. You know, look at some of these drivers. Like, I think Coulthard has a hotel in Monaco. Like, he's capitalizing around his job.
Yeah,
so, like, I'm pretty sure, you know, Lewis has got a few villas out in Miami that Airbnbs for the Jeep. But, you know, he's not stupid, is he? So it's like, but ultimately, I'd like to see him back there. If anything, and I'm going to get dragged for this, but I'm not a Leclerc fan. I'm just bored of him. really on board with him.
He's entertainment though when he spins off.
I mean,
yeah, I love it when he fucks up.
I actually do that.
No from France will stay with me for
no.
That blood curdling no, bless him.
I just feel sorry for Carlos, man. I just like he's trying to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
It feels like that dynamic's strained at the minute. That radio at Britain.
I think they're just generally vexed,
moan at each other.
I think they're just generally vexed though, at like where Ferrari stand right now.
Yeah,
but also Charles and Carlos.
Ferrari's a frustrating thing to watch, let alone drive for.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
It's like we've been here before. We've been here 3 years now, and this is still.
And I also feel like Ferrari deep down know there's contention for a number one driver. I don't think look at Red Bull, yeah. Max's number one driver. I feel like they're now realizing, okay, shit. Who is actually the better driver? I think it's Sainz. I really do.
Really?
I really
think Sainz.
Yeah, I really do. But there's loads of
Charles got the highest ceiling. I think you could argue consistency wise, Carlos, but I think Charles got the highest ceiling. He's got that tenth or two on Carlos when it matters. And I think if they gave him a car that he didn't feel like that he needs to overdrive to get anything out of it,
okay,
then I think
Carlos does have some stink. They both have stinkers, but when it's a Charles stinker, it feels like it's because he's overdriving. Whereas when Carlos has a stinker, it feels like it's just
not competing.
He's just not actually good enough on that day.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that. But I also, I don't dislike, and I'm trying not to use that word, but I'm not a fan.
In sporting context, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of drivers being, you know, I don't want to say bigger than the car when the car's not backing it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think like how many followers has Charles got on like Instagram? Millions. I think he's overtaken Ferrari, sure. Okay, we can argue Lewis Hamilton is the same, but I feel like I don't think I just like him as a driver. I think he's a really nice guy. Mm. I just think I like him as a driver. Mm. And I feel like I'd like to see someone else in that Ferrari car.
Mm.
Alex Albon would be sick in that car. He'll be sick. But
and that was his like team growing up as well. He shared like pictures of him when he was like a little kid in the full Ferrari clobber.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's an everything.
But yeah, I just want there to be a lot of transfers. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I love,
yeah.
Like, oh, like, we love a silly driver. Season, man. We love it.
Someone posted a screenshot of when Piastri, the whole Alpine Piastri thing happened.
That was so funny.
And I was like, oh, God. Memories, man. That was that. I remember where I was. I remember where I was for that. I mean, exactly where I was sat at home when I read
it. I was on Twitter.
I
was like, this is
and
great.
I was live within like 10 minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
And then I was on Australian news because I did a live stream reacting to it.
Yeah.
And then my cousins, because they live in Melbourne, and they messaged me in the morning like, you're on news. I was like, what the fuck?
What?
It's me swearing, which I never swear on my live stream.
That's the best thing about Australia.
Yeah, they
don't. They love it. I went to
Wait, can you swear on Australian TV?
I went to an Australian radio show once, right? And, you know, okay, I might have said a few naughty words here, but UK radio is so strict compared to Australian radio. Mm. And we were talking about music, and this guy was like, yeah, I don't give a shit, mate. I'm like, can you say shit? He went, yeah, go on.
I just did.
I went, fuck. It was so good. But like, I remember reading that because I texted my mate Sammy. I was like, oh yeah, Alpine Piastri, sweet, cool. And then there was like this statement, wasn't it? Like a statement from Piastri, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Like, what you were,
two,
I'm not going
3 hours after.
Yeah. Mate, I don't know where these reports have come from, but nah.
Mark Webber definitely wrote that.
Oh, definitely.
Mark Webber definitely wrote that.
Definitely. See, that's the thing, all these other drivers, the agents and stuff as well. So like, imagine, you know, like Lewis Hamilton, I don't think he'll ever get out of racing, obviously, like the actual system of racing.
Mm.
Imagine having an agent like Lewis Hamilton. That'd be sick.
That'd be Lewis Hamilton running a team.
Right. You know what we were saying last week? We were talking about how, what media-wise they can do to help the sport and improve the spectacle and you know, the whole Welcome to Wrexham and Rob McElhenney,
Ryan Reynolds.
They're buying a bit of Alpine, right? And how they can tell those stories. I think just getting a bit of more of an insight of like these agents and how they work with the drivers and all that stuff. Like none of that's told. We don't see any of that.
Yeah.
And that would be so interesting.
Yeah. Almost like an All or Nothing style documentary rather than
like an entourage of like a Formula One agents.
Yeah. And get people to care about, you know, because then it's not so much focus on who's winning all the time. It's can build a, you know, Wrexham aren't winning Champions Leagues, but people care about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the storytelling.
But that's the storytelling. And I'm going to get dragged. But I feel like F1 and some commentators and their history is a bit archaic.
Mm.
And it's very, very samey.
Mm.
without, you know, blowing smoke up your asses, I feel like having a dynamic like this on F1, okay, on a podcast, amazing. Having it forefront of everyone is what's needed because these are you guys are like the mirror image of the fans that F1 should be attracting. You know, gone are the days.
Because we're fans first and foremost.
But,
so that's
but
how
gone
we,
are the days where I feel like we can't watch F1 because no one else is watching it.
Yeah.
So now that's not the case at all.
You've got YouTube highlights, you've got that's so accessible now.
I feel like F1 just needs to, I don't want to say grow up a little bit or get with the times.
I don't disagree.
It needs to.
It's evolving, but not quickly enough.
It's archaic, bruv. Yeah. Like, okay, I'm not saying get.
And it's a shame there's no competition really in the live market in the UK as well.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm not saying get all these influencers doing TikTok dances on the grids, but all I'm saying is get some, if you want someone to be interested in something, get someone with the same interests. So like, I don't want to, as much as I love, you know, Brundle and that, I don't think he can talk to like an 11-year-old or 12-year-old and make him become a fan. But I can go up to, you know, like a 15-year-old. I remember, so I did this BBC tour, right? Not to plug that. But like we went to schools talking about, you know, what we do. And I said, yeah, I've met Lewis Hamilton, do this, da, 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 da. And afterwards, all these kids come up to me, like year 10s, year 11s, talk to me about this, talk to me about F1. And these are the people we need to get. These are the next generation of fans. And they're the ones that don't come from money. You're not going to see them at all the karting circuits. It's no clicky stuff. And okay, look, did Netflix, you know, influence that a bit? Probably. That's not a bad thing. And we need to get rid of the people that say, oh, you're just a Netflix fan.
Yeah.
Piss off then.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel like that's where it needs to evolve.
Oh, I hate that so much, man.
Yeah. But even just like, I did a talk at, one of my best mates is a primary school teacher, and I went to the school and I did a talk about like YouTube, and I brought my plaque along and all that. And they loved it, and they felt like super kind of comfortable talking to me and asking me questions, because that is the thing that's seen as like YouTube is this big like job now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can combine that with the sport that we love, and there's no reason why a younger generation, again, there wasn't as many avenues when we were kids to like consume it, right? But I think now you've got the freedom. You can just watch it on your phone on YouTube, and even if your parents are watching something else on telly.
And this brings me back to the point of Lando should move to Red Bull, because Lando is the only guy I spoke about in the schools that I've, that like
it. Yeah, yeah.
Like he is that Gen Z poster boy. All right, your next move needs to go to a big boy team, and it's going to be Red Bull. And I'm telling you now, and you know, unless McLaren pull out a hat and they get this, you know, championship chasing car, if not, he's be on them sugar-free Red Bulls day in, day out. He'll be drinking that. So that's where F1 needs to really, really evolve. Is it's not necessarily in the schools, it's with the youngsters who sit and watch Twitch and watch these sim races.
Yeah.
That's your fan base.
That's how you convert.
Because you've got to think about all the F1 fan bases from when I was growing up. Rich old white men in chinos. It's literally, that's what it is.
Bernie Eccleston white literally chinos, like he did not care about anyone apart from the 50 plus year old who can afford a Rolex. That's all he cared about marketing to.
But then in terms of you know, money and stuff, it does need to be a bit cheaper. It does need to be more accessible.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah,
I think Silverstone's incredible for the price. You know, it's expensive. Thursday to Friday, I think Calvin Harris was on Thursday. You know, like
Black Eyed Peas were there Saturday.
Yeah, Black Eyed Peas. Okay, wow. Maybe push the budget a bit more.
Well, I like Black Eyed
Peas. Let's get it started.
That's not a formula. That's...
But I remember because I turned down a Thursday because you just think like Thursdays aren't going to be like too much fun. But Calvin Harris is just giving it.
Yeah.
So I feel like you either give them the money's worth or make it cheaper. So that's why I feel like, you know, Vegas is going to be mental. Miami's mental. I feel like the price kind of reflects that. You know, in terms of what you get.
We were talking about this before we started recording. Like, this has never been a sport for the working class. It was started in the 50s by a bunch of old, like, white blokes with loads of money who just wanted to go racing.
Yeah.
And, like, it's never been built around that. And I think for it to... I think we as a... And, yeah, I mean, hopefully you're part of what we do and putting this out there and talking about the sport from a regular people's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully that starts to...
I think we're in the same tax bracket. Do you know what I mean? If you're in a different tax bracket where, you know, you're paying stupid amounts of money, you shouldn't be, like, influencing the youngsters that can't afford it. And that's, like, really rude to say. But like, just want normal people. I remember, like, I was in the Harvester having some dinner and I was watching... It was when Magnussen got P1 on the sprint and Q1 on the sprint.
Brazil.
And there's a guy next to me and he's, like, I think it might have been in the West Ham top.
Yeah.
He's like Kevin Magnussen. I was like, yeah, he is. oh, he's going to win that. He's not, but all right, yeah. So, yeah, but, so people but are like, interested in it.
A little confused, but I like the spirit. Yeah.
People are interested in it, but I feel
that's
like...
a classic West Ham fan, man. If I holding on to hope when there is none.
But like, I feel like if I weren't dressed the way I was dressed, if I was dressed in like a... Oh, I'm mugging a lot of people off, but like, you know... Like, you know, chinos and shoes and top. You ain't going to talk to me, bro. But because we're kind of like the same, I can talk to him. I can approach him. Yeah. So I feel like the sport's got a long way to go.
It does.
But it's a great starting point with stuff like this.
Yeah. It's come a long way in, again, definitely. 6 years ago, Burnley sold up.
Yeah. Even like 2017, like you couldn't even watch the highlights on YouTube, no? It was the old logo.
And when they first started them, they were terrible. No, like they didn't talk through it. It was almost like a... it was like a fan cam, like fan made like a few replay.
Oh, yeah.
There was no time in, there was no information. It was just not good.
But to be fair, I think Formula One is pretty good to watch, especially we can watch every. I've got like the silliest subscription. Like I spend a lot to watch them all on one screen. I want to watch you like the Matrix do, like putting that down. It does look good, but I just feel like they've got all this way to go. I'm not saying change presenters because I would never get someone out of a job. You need something like an alternative. F1.2, an F1.5 or something where it's like catered towards that new generation of fans.
But they've got that kids broadcast, haven't they?
That's funny because they started up with football, didn't they?
Yeah.
Kids commentating over.
Have you heard about that? No. It's like a kids focused broadcast. It's almost like CBBC, but for F1.
That's amazing.
I write that.
But you've just got to be careful those kids aren't in the karting cliques. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like you have to be related. You have to have someone that
it's just doesn't... That, like actually...
Exactly.
Yeah, just normal.
Yeah, you're right.
Just go to school. I'm going to chat about Formula 1.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it's got a long way to go, but I'm really enjoying it. I do feel like it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's got... just a big step. It's not like little baby steps now. You just need to make a big change.
It's made a lot of big steps in a short period of time. It's kind of leveling off a bit now, but that's not. This is quite a normal season by F1 standards.
Yeah.
Everyone's this like is losing a bit, their like, mind. Compared to what we've had, this domination, is a bit like, yeah. But then this is why, like, so what's your views on the cost cap? Like, so what do you want a cost cap? I think
reasonably it was going to always take at least 2 years for changes because like James Vowles talked about this loads. Like their infrastructure at Williams is still miles behind what it was at Mercedes. Yeah. Like that's not going to change with the cost cap overnight. That's going to take time, but it's 0.8 between P1, P20 in Austria Q1. Mm-hmm. The convergence is happening.
This is the closest I think I've ever seen. I know it's like so easy to get distracted because
you have Max to look at the totality.
Absolutely slapping everyone, and that's fair. But like the actual entire, I don't think I've ever seen a Formula One grid this close from like first to.
And it's a year and a half into the new reg. So I'm
confident. Aston Martin are just randomly there now. McLaren have just appeared out of just nowhere.
With the popularity of Formula One now, wouldn't you just love someone with stupid amounts of money to be like, God, it's like, would you watch the Olympics if everyone was on steroids? Yeah.
The steroid Olympics.
That, didn't they? I saw an advert for that. No.
What?
No, I swear.
You would.
Or was it? No, maybe it wasn't real. But
imagine though, like you've got Usain Bolt.
The performance enhanced.
Imagine him.
And he slaps 100 metres in like 4.5 seconds.
Be sick, bro.
Crazy.
Just imagine like, you know, you've got all these like figures from around the world, right? Let's just say the Saudi did like a live goal for Formula One. And they just poured
They're
money.
Talking about buying it, the Saudi.
Probably.
I've heard reports.
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah. But just imagine, like, Lawrence Stroll with an extra 300 million. With like, no, like, it'd be sick, bruv. Imagine someone like...
I don't know, we've just gone from like, let's make it more affordable for like the kids. Yeah, fuck it, we're going Saudi Arabia.
Fuck those kids. No, but like, in terms of like, for the business side.
I get you,
For the product.
Just imagine, like Williams having like, I don't know, say, who's the guy that does Wrexham again? What's his name?
Ryan Reynolds.
Imagine Ryan Reynolds just like, you know, he's sold all of his companies now. I'm going to give $1 billion to Williams. And they had no limits of what they can do. They're building a rocket ship, bruv.
Yeah, like an actual spaceship.
They are literally
off the ground.
So that's why I was like, okay, now it's out of the popularity. If it is so worldwide and global and everyone's talking about it and everyone's got some shit views on it, some crazy theories, just let them get on with it. That'd be sick. Or even just like one race of the year. You're like the parents' race at sports day. Just let them have it. Yeah. Let them have a go on it.
I think
everyone get their spaceships out. Let's fucking race.
Exactly. You
know what I mean? I think the sport's cooking. I think it's
cooking.
I think it's cooking. Let it cook. Boys, I think we should wrap it there.
No, I don't want to wrap it, to be fair.
This one's got to go home because you were late and you got to leave.
Yeah, I was late and I've got to leave. And now construction's just started.
And construction's just started outside. Yeah. So that wasn't
That's Lawrence Stroll, mate, getting parked. Yeah, he's ready.
Alex, man, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
We could have easily chatted for about 3-4 hours.
Yeah, I was going to carry on there. I'm not going to lie.
Time flies when you're having fun. Plug, where can people find you?
Kiss FM UK, Monday to Friday on Kiss Fresh, Kiss Tree Saturday, Kiss FM UK Saturday and Sunday, and sometimes about on telly. Sometimes.
Love it. Love it. And don't forget to like, 5-star, rate, subscribe, comment, all of the above.
I've always wanted to say, can I say that? Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Is that right?
Yeah. Good. He's
alive. Yes. Radio boy, come good.
Love to see it.
YouTuber out of you soon enough, mate. Yeah. All the best.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for watching Hungary this weekend. I won't be here for the live show because I'm going to be in Hungary. I'm going to be at the race.
Yeah. Have a great time. I'm going to miss you.
It's okay. It'll be fine.
We can't do it.
We've got some great guests coming on to hold the fort while I'm not here.
Yes, indeed.
And then we'll crack on. And then it's Belgium the week after, which I'll be back for.
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
Perfect. Cheers, everyone.
See ya.